Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we continue Sefer Tehillim, Chapter 93, Perek Tzadik Gimel. This is a very short chapter, only five psukim, verses. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Levium would accompany the service on Friday with this song. This is particularly an Erev Shabbos song, and indeed we sing it multiple times on Shabbos as well. Medrash Tehillim informs us once again that this chapter pertains specifically to one tribe, and this time it is Binyamin, since they dwell in the shadow of Hashem. Perhaps since we know the Beis HaMikdash was in their portion, let's see if we can make sense of it. The chapter is small but powerful, and according to Rav Hirsch, begins where the magnificent 92 Tzadik Beis ends. Many commentaries understand this chapter as a beautiful picture of the Messianic era, of a world that finally is truly ready to recognize Hashem in His world. We live in a dichotomy of sorts. The entire natural world runs completely according to God's wish and plan, but the human world behaves as if there was no God, no mission, no purpose. Decade after decade, century after century, and millennium after millennium, humans continue to blindly follow one false lead after another, ignoring our divine core and beautiful legacy. But there will come a time, cries the Navi, when the entire world will know, will recognize their sublime existence, and will finally unite in the service of Hashem. When that happens, we will finally reach the glorious moment that this first verse refers to. Verse 1, Pasuk Aleph. Hashem malach geus lavesh. Lavesh Hashem oz his azar. Af tikon tevel bal timot. Hashem has ruled. He is robed in grandeur. He is girded with strength. The world stands firm. It cannot be shaken. Hashem malach. Hashem will finally be king. And at that moment, we will actually restore the world to its magnificent beginning of Gan Eden before the sin. Pirkei DeRabbi Eliezer tells us the first time this verse was proclaimed. And in fact, it was on a Friday, the first Erev Shabbos in history. After Adam HaRishon was created, he rose and stood to see the beautiful world God had created for him. And he cried out, "How great are your ways, Hashem!" But the sight of Adam HaRishon was actually so stately and majestic that the Medrash tells us the animals and creatures were confused and thought him a god. They approached and bowed. Adam cried out, "You are bowing to me? Let us, I and all of you, go and bow before Hashem, our true creator." And he said these words, Hashem malach geus lavesh, lavesh Hashem oz his azar. Let us savor this image, this picture of the world as it was meant to be, of man not the only exception, the only rebel in Hashem's kingdom, but as the leader of those who serve him. Of a world where the entire universe unites under man to serve God. That is where we aim to get to. And that Medrash reminds us we got there once before. So now to the clothing. There is a lot of metaphorical clothing in this verse. What is the meaning of it? Clothing hides, but clothing certainly reveals. We make judgments and assumptions about people based on what we see them wear. At a wedding, we assume the one dressed in the white gown on the beautiful bedecked chair is the bride. When we see someone dressed in a blue uniform, hat, whistle, and gun, we assume that we are looking at police. Rav Hirsch explains that seeing Hashem dressed in majesty means we get it. When we get to a place where we finally recognize Hashem as the king of the universe, although he, of course, always was, and nothing changed in his essence, we will finally change. We will finally get there and understand what the natural world knew all along. that af tikon tevel bal timot. All along, Hashem has been keeping the amazing equilibrium of gravity, homeostasis, and all of Earth's necessary elements so that the world does not and will not fall. This has always been going on, but we never knew it. Verse 2, therefore, Nachon kis'acha me'az me'alam ata. Your throne is established from then, you are from forever. So this verse is kind of a double thought. The Medrash tells us, me'az, your throne is established from then and from forever, since the throne of Hashem, the Kisei HaKavod, was one of the seven creations that actually preceded the world. So integral is it to the functioning of our world that Hashem's throne, so to speak, be present in it. Hashem created it first. Of course this is true, yet, as Rev Hirsch explains, it is only once we have finally opened a place in our own hearts to accept Hashem as King that Hashem's throne is truly established for us. And now the Perek begins to speak of rivers. Verse 3, Nas'u Naharos Hashem, Nas'u Naharos Kolam, Yis'u Naharos Dachyam. The river sounds, Hashem. The river raises its call. The river sounds its pounding. What are these rivers? The Sfas Emes tells us it is the story of our history. The rivers are our enemies, and this is a reference to our exiles. The rivers roared and destroyed our first Beis HaMikdash. The rivers roared and destroyed our second. But ultimately, when do waves most loudly crash? When they crash and break to their end. Rav Hirsch expounds on this and reminds us that even though we may not have seen it, everything is Hashem's kingdom and Hashem's plan. And in verse 4, Mikolos Mayim Rabim Adirim Mishpureyam Adir Bamarom Hashem. Above the thunder of the mighty waters, more majestic than the breakers of the sea, is Hashem, majestic on high. But Rav Hirsch understands this mem not to mean more, as in more powerful, but as a causative mem, so to speak. That the true cause of all the waters roar, it is all Hashem's majesty and plan. Again, this ironic truth that while mankind has been so blind to it, all along world history and its accompanying waves and crashes, the rise and falls of kingdoms and empires, it has all been Adir Bamarom Hashem. It has been the ultimate plan of Hashem all along. I'd like to pause and explain the viewpoint of Malbim on this chapter, which is slightly different than the others. We may recall that the Malbim has been explaining the past few chapters, and this one as well, as the dual method Hashem runs our world with, mostly through laws of nature that Hashem put into place, and also occasionally by rising above nature, demonstrating that Hashem is not bound by nature, rather he controls it. And so in this chapter, the Malbim says, Tehillim is noting the unbelievable, wonderful reality that as in verse 1, even while Hashem is Geus Lavesh, which according to Malbim means engaging in miracles, which demonstrate Hashem's grandeur, Hashem continues, Lavish Hashem owes his azar. He continues to allow the world's other laws of nature to continue, so that af tikon tevel bal timot, the world does not fall apart. In other words, it is remarkable that Hashem has created the multi-layered and interrelated infrastructure of our world, the natural world, and it is equally spectacular that Hashem could, so to speak, stop the wheel of nature from turning. But Hashem doesn't. He breaks nature and keeps it going simultaneously. Af tikon tevel bal timot. He does not let the world fall apart, even during miraculous times. And Malbim explains about the rivers in verse 3 and 4, that water has no boundaries and by natural laws should flood the earth entirely. The fact that Nas'u Naharos Dachyam, that the rivers rise and then fall to the shore, is a constant message of Hashem's love and providence, keeping the inhabitants of our earth safe, and as a sign that Hashem is truly in charge of the world. But in verse 5, Edosecha ne'emnu me'od, the greatest testimony to the love of Hashem and his relationship with us is Leveischa Nava Kodesh, that you dwell in the Beis HaMikdash, and this world of Kodesh, of holiness, of miracles, of closeness to the world that you taught us, showed us on a daily basis that we are living in Hashem's world. The word Na'ava is actually unique in the Chataf Patach under the Aleph. Usually, in the word Na'ava, the Aleph is silent. This is the only place in all of Tanakh that it has this Chataf Patach. And therefore, Rashi as well explains the word to mean as dwelling place, that you live in the Beis HaMikdash. But Radak explains it with the Shorash Taiva, desire. And this kind of brings the whole chapter back together. In this messianic world, when mankind will finally recognize that Hashem is clothed in grandeur, that Hashem has all along been in control, not only of the natural world, but the rise and fall of history, then this image of the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem dwelling with us, not only from his heavenly throne, but from right here. As the Ibn Ezra explains, this will be something that everyone, not only Jewish people, will be attracted to. They will all be Leveischa Nava Kodesh. They will long to be close to the Beis HaMikdash. They will be drawn to the holiness of the land, of the house of God. Hashem La'orech Yamim. Hashem, when we finally reach that momentous time, let it last La'orech Yamim forever. We now, of course, can see how this related to Binyamin, who was drawn to the Beis HaMikdash from the very start, who had the foresight and understanding of the privilege and opportunity to house the Beis HaMikdash, that he cried for it and davened for it and ultimately received it. On Erev Shabbos, of course, as we prepare for a day of holiness and closeness to Hashem, a day of Kedusha, we can as well relate to this love of Binyamin. One day, we and the entire world will get to that clarity and understanding too, that this is Hashem's world, and that the very greatest thing we can possess in this world is knowledge and closeness to Him. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bat Chaim Leib.